Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're hearing from John Doherty, a digital marketing consultant by trade that also runs the popular matchmaking service called Credo that's paired over 1,500 brands with marketers and SEO providers from within its vetted community. Since John started his marketing career, he rose up to lead growth teams at companies like Trulia and Hotpads, which are now owned by Zillow, before spending some time working at a digital marketing agency that exposed him to working with several Fortune 1000 brands. Eventually, John went out on his own as a marketing consultant, but it was that experience working in an agency that taught him a lot about just how difficult it is to find highly qualified marketing and SEO talent, a pain point that he would take on full force with his business, Credo. In this episode, John and I talk about his journey from working as an in-house marketer to eventually striking out on his own and leaving his day job to be a full-time marketing consultant, including the exact ways in which he lands clients for his business. We dig into how John positions himself as an expert for a very specific niche type of clients in his industry and why that decision has helped him to land the kinds of clients that can hire him for 5 to 6 figure retainer projects. We cover his best advice to freelancers that want to nail their SEO, drive inbound leads to your website, and his best tactics for landing valuable freelance clients. As always, you can find everything we mention in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with John Doherty. John, welcome to the show.
Ryan, thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm pumped to be speaking with you today. And, you know, the first question before we get into it that I have to ask you, I've been asking everyone here on the show, is what is your favorite book that you've read recently or a book that you're reading right now?
Man, that is a fantastic question. I'm actually a big reader. I love to read. My wife makes fun of me because I read a lot of business books. But I have to say, and I'm sure you've received this answer a bunch of times, the book that has had one of the biggest impacts on my life and that I actually reread right now every 3 to 5 months is Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Work Week. It's just, there's something new to learn every single time. I literally read it about once a quarter at this point.
Wow. That's awesome. I haven't gotten into rereading it at that kind of depth, but man, I read it probably like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. It's been around for a while, but you're right. It is a classic. It's still relevant.
Yeah. It's been around for a decade and still super relevant as you go through business and your business hits different points. There are new things in there to learn. You know, the four sections, each one goes deeper into an area. And every time I find that, like, I'm like, oh, that is relevant to my business now versus it was not 6 months ago. So highly recommend finding those books. You can go back and just go to time and time again to learn more.
And so before we just started recording here, you mentioned that you were up until midnight doing a client audit. So I take it you haven't quite gotten to that 4 hours of work per week.
I have not. However, I will say that those midnight audits are way less frequent than they used to be. I used to work probably 80, 90 hours a week easily. And now I'm around 40 to 45. So I feel pretty good about that, but always trying to be smarter about what I'm doing.
I like it. I love it. So John, you're based in Denver, Colorado, incredibly beautiful place. My girlfriend and I were very sad to leave there a few months ago. We're back in the Bay Area, but John, how did you end up in Denver? Because you were in the Bay Area before then.
I was. So I'm in Denver, originally from Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, and I have moved 29 times since I graduated high school. Some in the same location, some in the same city, just moving apartments. But my wife and I, directly before Denver, were in San Francisco, where we were both working for tech companies. And I started Credo while we were living there. Before that, we were in Brooklyn. In New York, I spent a couple of years there working for an agency and loved it. Absolutely fell in love with Brooklyn, to my great surprise, in fact. But yeah, I've kind of been through the whole, being a digital marketer by trade, I've kind of been through all the different parts of it, of working in-house, working for an agency, and now finally working for myself. So it's been quite the ride. And in there, I've also spent a couple of years in Europe, and my wife and I have traveled the world over the last couple of years, a couple different times. So it's been a ride, man.
Wow. That is awesome. And you know, you're, as you started to allude to, you've done a lot of different things. You're a man of many talents, right? So wide range of experience. You've led growth marketing at Trulia and Hotpads, which is owned by Zillow. You've worked at the digital marketing agency in New York. You've built your own products and apps. Turning the clock backwards a little bit now, what set you down this path of becoming a marketer and working with, you know, the recognizable brands you've gotten to build relationships with?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people in the SEO and digital marketing world. And some people, when they were younger and they've always been super entrepreneurial, you know, the fabled 11 years old lemonade stand sort of thing. I've actually never taken a business or a marketing class in my life. I used to brag about that. Now it might actually be working against me and I plan to go take some. But so I'm actually a writer originally. I love writing. I launched my first blog in like 2001 probably. So I've been writing online for a really long time. And I got into SEO and digital marketing because I was trained as a web developer in college. I was a technical writing major, but we had a web development concentration, and I took that, and it was fantastic. Learned, you know, HTML, CSS. At the time, they were still talking about DHTML, dynamic HTML, right? Which is basically like HTML plus CSS to make a slider. I was like, wow, this is super cool. I can, you know, make stuff look how I want it to. And had a web development internship one summer in college. And then I actually started doing digital marketing because I was helping to run a book publishing company from Europe, from Switzerland for about a year, and then moved back to the States and got a full-time job in SEO, working for an agency in the Philadelphia area, working on one of their for-profit education lead generation websites. So I very much cut my teeth there. So it was kind of a combination of I like meeting people. I like talking to people. I'm pretty good at connecting with people, combined with the technical skills of web development and the writing skills, which, you know, helped me do good content marketing. And I took a ton of communications classes in college as well. So I think I'm decent with the spoken word as well. So all of those kind of came together, and I just fortuitously needed a job in Philly and got a job at this agency and was like, wow, this SEO stuff is, I dabbled in a little bit, but I was like, I can go deep here and I actually really enjoy it.
I love it. So you mentioned that you started your first blog back in 2001, which is extremely early. Do you remember the topic that it was about? Was it just a personal site, or was it kind of like a niche site? Was it just a place to test and learn, experiment? Give us a little more context.
Yeah, I think it was kind of all of the above. I mean, it was early days of, it was on Blogspot. It was super early days of blog. Actually, it was a Zanga website, now that I remember it, which, who's thought about Zanga in a long time, right? So that's what it was originally. And so I was raised fairly conservative. I was raised in the church. And so I basically started it as a place to kind of write out my ideas and write out my thoughts. And so I started writing. And I mean, this is the days of blog rolls and, you know, all of that. There was no social media. You know, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. And I actually ended up connecting with a lot of the very well-respected and authoritative, like, pastors, like, in the U.S. At that time, where, like, they were reading my blog. And, you know, I was, like, 16, 17, they were reading my blog and commenting on it. I had some of like the biggest names in like American Christianity commenting on that site. So I kind of learned how to build an audience and connect with people online in that way. It was just kind of an outlet for me, right? Like there's the private writing, you know, journaling, that sort of thing, which I used to do, don't do anymore. I think a lot of us used to. And this was a bit more like public of a place to get some of those thoughts that I was comfortable sharing out there, and people started to connect with it.
Yeah, and I feel like this is actually something that a lot of the guests I've had here on the show can sort of trace their roots back to. It's that they had some sort of original platform, whether it was just for fun or if it was business, whatever, that doesn't matter. But it was a way to kind of build their skills. And more importantly, I would actually argue, connect with people, right? I'm sure a lot of those relationships are ones that are still lasting today.
Yeah, so some of them are. You know, I've had some internet friends for a really long time now. And yeah, as I've been kind of going down the rabbit hole of entrepreneurship over the last few years and just building my career, I've realized that business is all about who you know, 100%. Friends do, or people do business with their friends and people that they like. So it's all about, business is all about relationships, whether you're in-house or an agency working with clients or working for yourself. It's all about who you know.
Yeah. For everyone listening, I want to double click on that, because there is no shortcut to building those relationships either. You can't sort of just immediately fast track your way somehow into becoming someone's friend or making them want to work with you, right? So it's an investment over time. So John, let's talk about your main focus currently. So I know you do a few different things still, but you've got a website called Credo. Can you explain what the site is for people listening today?
Absolutely. So Credo, which the URL is getcredo.com, because credo.com is super expensive and owned by somebody else. Basically, what I do is lead generation for marketing agencies on the one hand. So I'm paid by marketing agencies and consultants to send them new potential clients. The value I provide on the client side, people looking to hire the agencies and consultants that I work with, is I help them figure out first what they're looking to accomplish through marketing. Most business owners are not marketers, and you know, they've heard about this SEO thing or this Facebook ads thing, or it's working well for their, you know, cousin's truck rental website, but you know, they've started an e-commerce website and they're looking to grow it. So what I do is basically consult with them to help them figure out how do they actually grow their business? And if they're looking to invest in SEO, what does that mean and where do they start? And basically giving them almost a hiring strategy for finding the right people to help them grow their business. So right now I speak with probably anywhere, it's a B2B business, so it's seasonal. I speak with anywhere from 40 to 60 or 70 businesses a month looking to hire. I've spoken with over 1,500 in the last 3 years, two and a half years, and seen over $15 million in digital marketing spend come across my plate. So seen a lot, talked with a lot of businesses, a lot of business owners, and seen a lot of marketing budget come through. So I'm able to get people connected up with not just an SEO agency, right? But an SEO agency that works within their budget, that specializes in the kind of work that they need for the kind of business that they are. That's what I try to do, provide a lot of signal in a very noisy, noisy industry.
This is much higher touch too than I thought just from looking at the website. So you actually take a very consultative approach to the agencies that you are, you know, reaching out to, or maybe they're reaching out to you. How do you sort of acquire those agency customers, and what does the deal look like from your perspective on the inside?
Yeah. So the agents, it's interesting because it is higher touch probably than I let on, as you said, on the website. And that's something I'm working to make a bit more apparent, just to lean into that trust of what we do and why we do it and who we do it for, which is just the hardest part of marketing is, or building a business, is just positioning it and knowing who your customer is. But it's a marketplace. So I'm finding the, in some sense of the word. So the clients are coming to me through a bunch of different means, through my own search rankings, through referrals from other websites, from other agencies that can't take them on as a client, through a little bit of paid advertising. Agencies and consultants are actually easier to find simply because I'm a marketer and I have a lot of connections in the digital marketing world. And it's pretty easy to tell them, hey, if you pay me X amount per month, this is the number of potential clients I am aiming to introduce you to, and this is how much they're worth, right? So I'm literally selling them money, which is a really good business to be in, because people, you know, if I could tell people you pay me, you know, X hundreds of dollars and I'll make you X thousands of dollars, it's a pretty easy sell for a smart business person, or not even a super smart business person, just someone that understands basic economics. But the challenge, Ryan, I think to your question is, finding the good ones, because there are a lot of people out there on the internet. Everyone claims to be an expert, but not everyone is. And actually online, there are a lot of people that claim to be experts. I would say the vast majority actually are not. And so I do a much deeper vetting process, speaking with the agencies, getting deeper into their sales process and their client management process. And I see a couple of their clients, I take a look at their client metrics, and basically verify that they can actually do what they say they can do.
Yeah, this is very high touch, but I like it. I feel like it's something where you're positioning yourself as a much greater value in this marketplace, where you have, you know, Upwork and Fiverr and all these sort of very low touch marketplaces where it's like, here you go, there's a bunch of freelancers out there, go crazy. Your proposition is a little bit more focused around, these are the people you should be hiring and here is why.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I feel like that, or I know that freelancer approach has been solved. So, you know, that's not what I'm trying to go after. And people will come to me and they'll say, like, I just need like a freelancer that I can pay $30 an hour. I'm like, okay, great. Like, I understand that's a very real need of yours and you can't afford to hire an agency for $3,000 a month. However, that's not the kind of business I am. And so I refer them to, there's actually a vetted freelancer marketplace that I refer them to as well. So I've kind of built out those partnerships too, so that I can serve, you know, the people that are coming to me. If they're not a good fit for what we do, then I can get them on their way. I don't just want to say, sorry, can't help you, good luck. I want to try to point them in the right direction, regardless of whether they're paying me or not.
And what is that marketplace that you'll push freelancers towards?
So that marketplace is called FreeUp, three E's, freeup.com. And their CMO and co-founder has become a friend. And so they basically have a whole network of vetted freelancers across web development and marketing and all of those things. But it's a company that I know and trust and happily send people to them if they're not a good fit for me.
Cool. That's smart. I like that. So how much revenue do you guys do, you know, on an average month through Credo? And do your clients pay you and then you pay the agency who's doing the work? Or are you sort of just like facilitating introductions?
So it's the second one. I'm a matchmaker. Credo's a matchmaking service where we help them get connected up with the right people and then basically help them out with questions that they have as they go through the process of making a decision. So we help out with reviewing proposals and, is what's being proposed actually what's going to move the needle for them? I can, you know, direct them in the right way, make sure the connections we made for them are, you know, work good and the agency can actually do what the client needs them to be able to do, and can the client afford them? So, you know, we take a consultative approach there. Across my business overall, and this is a combination of Credo, the lead generation business, and my own consulting. I'm still an SEO consultant for some large websites, often tech companies. We do on average anywhere from about $28,000 to $35,000 a month in revenue.
That's pretty significant. And I'm glad that you mentioned that you still do the consulting stuff in addition to Credo, because I want to dig into some more of that tactical stuff for the freelancers, the consultants listening here today. So obviously one thing you can do if you're trying to bring on new clients is go to these lower value, let's call them, marketplace sites like Upwork, Fiverr, sites like that. Another thing you can do is go to somewhere like FreeUp that's more premium, it's vetted, right? There's more of a layer of authority there with the freelancers that join. But have you seen anything else work as a viable way to land high value freelance clients? So I guess my short question is, what do you do to land good clients?
It's a great question. So I do a few things, and I actually think that this advice applies to solo consultants. With agencies, it's a bit different. It's a different approach from what I found. But, you know, me personally, I've been very fortunate over the years to build a good size audience, right? I got fortunate working for Distilled, and they had a big audience, and they put on conferences. So I was able to speak there, and I got connected up with a lot of other very, you know, smart and influential people in the digital marketing industry. But basically the way that I get them is, and when it comes to being a consultant and trying to get ideal clients, especially for high ticket consulting projects, right? If you're like, I'll just be straight up. It's not uncommon for me to sell a $10,000 SEO audit to someone or to get someone on a 5-figure a month retainer for consulting. But you don't do that by just saying like, I do SEO services, right? You have to say, this is who I am, and this is who I've worked with in the past. This is the kind of results that I've gotten them. And these are the things that I've seen work for them. What I've learned is, so being very specific about who you do work for, I say I do SEO consulting focused on technical SEO for large websites, primarily marketplaces and content websites. So I'm one of the few people in the industry that, you know, if a site like that needs an SEO consultant to work with, basically they have a team in place, but no in-house SEO, I'm one of the few people they go to. And if I choose to pitch the work, I know I'm going to close it 90 to 95% of the time. That also means I'm okay saying no to people that are not a good fit. So if someone comes to me and they're a lawyer, for example, and they need help ranking their local area, I'm not the best person for that. And so I want to refer that to someone who is the best person for that, right? So I'm not going to refer them to a generic agency, some full service agency that's just trying to sign 40 new clients a month. I'm going to send them to someone that I know that specializes in doing SEO for lawyers, right? So specializing in and saying, these are the services that I offer. These are the services that I don't offer. So I say, I do not do content marketing or outreach or link building for my clients. There are plenty of people that do. That is not what I do. So if you need that, I'm not the right person. So those people don't contact me. They might contact me inadvertently through Credo, right? But they don't contact me for me to work on their site. And because I've said that's not what I do. And that's completely okay. I think a lot of marketers, a lot of consultants need to stop thinking about like, how do I just get more leads, right? How do I get like hundreds of leads a month? If you're a solo consultant, you don't need hundreds of leads a month. You need like four, and you need to close two of those into a client, right? So I don't want to get 300 leads a month and, you know, close two of those because those are the right fit, because I'm going to waste my time on those other, you know, 298. I'd rather have four, have them be super highly qualified and pitch the ones I actually want to work with. And you do that by specializing.
Yeah, I love the specificity that you mentioned and how focused you are on exactly what you do and exactly who it's for. I think that really helps you stand out in a niche. But, you know, are you having clients, maybe the way to approach this is looking back at your past one, two, three most recent clients you've signed, how did they come to you or did you go out and pitch them proactively?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I don't do any outbound. I've never done outbound, you know, cold calling or cold emailing or something like that for my own consulting. I've tried it for other, you know, for other things, but I've never done it for my own consulting. So they come through a few different places. One is through my own personal website, which I've had going for, it'll be 8 years at the end of this year. So I've written a lot of stuff on there. I also get it through actually another directory. So through the Moz recommended like agencies and consultants list. I get inquiries through there, and then also friends referring work to me. And I know people that are, you know, heads of digital at different, you know, good sized companies, and sometimes they'll need to bring me in to help them out with consulting because they have a specific need that I can help them out with. So yeah, it's kind of a combination of all those things. People find me through organic, but mostly it's, you know, being known as this person, having, you know, an online home, and saying exactly what I do. And then having, you know, people that refer work to me. And I've never hurt, at all for, you know, for new clients. Mm-hmm.
That's great advice. A lot of that stuff takes, you know, plenty of time to build up, right? So you don't become an yep. authority in your space. You don't immediately have tons of relationships who can refer you business overnight, right? So
yep.
I want to dig into the other channel that you mentioned. Something that maybe, you know, we can call one of your superpowers is that driving inbound traffic. SEO, yep. right, is all about yep. driving inbound traffic.
It's so one of my skills, yep.
What are some of the basics that a freelancer who's sort of on the just starting out side of things should keep in mind if they want to create sort of an inbound funnel of leads for their business?
Yeah, totally. So it's funny that you use the word superpower because I forget who it was, but someone that I know in the digital marketing industry basically talks about writing, and it might actually be a VC, talks about writing as being a superpower. And teaching is being a superpower. I don't buy into those that can do and those that can't teach. I think it's amazing when people who are doing are also teaching. And the best way to get clients and to establish yourself, this is how I did it, this is how a lot of people that I know did it, is writing about the things that you're learning and teaching other people how to do what you do. So, you know, if you're trying to build out that organic funnel, focus down into the area that you really enjoy working in, or, you know, the kinds of clients that you're working on, what have you, and write about the, you know, the problems that you're solving, right? Here's this challenge that I saw today, you know, on this client's website. You know, don't say who the client is if they haven't given you permission, but here's what I ran into and here's how I solved it, right? And then over time, you start to see kind of the bigger picture. Oh, I've worked on six different websites now, and fixing their 404s, you know, on average doubles their traffic, right? Write about it. Teach people what you're doing. And then people are like, oh, I'm dealing with that same issue. I should, you know, hire so-and-so. I should hire John. I should hire Ryan, you know, to help me out with fixing that. Basically what I found, and of course, you know, writing towards keywords that people are searching for as well, you're not going to be able to go out and rank for like, you know, SEO strategies with a brand new website. You know, there are people like Brian Dean of Backlinko and, you know, Neil Patel are ranking for those sorts of things, and rightfully so. They do great work. They've been around for a long time. But learning how to do keyword research using a tool like SEMrush and identifying the questions people are asking, that your potential clients are asking, and the terms that they're searching for, and then writing towards those topics is the best way to really start generating generating traffic to your website. And then the best way to start generating leads, I mean, make it very clear, this is how you contact me, right? Have a contact form on your website, or you know, have a click here to email me button, right? So they can email you. But the best way to do it, honestly, is what people call content upgrades. So this has worked really well for me on Credo. I haven't done it on my personal site because I haven't needed to, but basically providing really high. I've written, like, I wrote an 18,000 word SaaS SEO guide. I wrote a 12,000 word e-commerce marketing guide. I wrote a guide to for executives trying to hire a marketing agency. And then I drive both organic and paid traffic from Facebook to those. And right now I'm getting 20, 25, 30 unique emails a day signing up to those. Right. So that's like a good flow right there. And Credo is a very different business than like a solo consultant. But if you can write that content, that like industry leading content that the people you're trying to target, right, directors of marketing, that sort of thing in specific industries, then those are going to be super highly qualified for you.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. And you know, if you're thinking of how do I come up with the right content ideas, it's just all problem solving, right? So figure out
problem solving and keyword research. It's quantitative.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Well, John, I want to transition over to a few of my frequently asked questions, which I've designed to be intentionally short on my end. Your answers do not need to be equally so.
Let's do it.
What kinds of sacrifices have you had to make in order to put enough time and effort into your business over the years?
Man, that's a great question, Ryan. I've had to, I wouldn't say that I've actually sacrificed, I haven't sacrificed hobbies or anything like that. I probably have sacrificed some time, with friends and some with my wife, in order to get this thing going, especially in the early days. And I mean, before I met my wife, before I was married, I definitely worked a lot of evenings, you know, blogging and that sort of thing. At certain times in life, that sort of thing is great. When I was single, 27 and single and living in Brooklyn, I could do it. I could put that time in there. I could spend that time blogging. Now it's much harder because I actually want to go and hang out with my wife and hang out with our friends and, you know, be outside in Denver. So I definitely made some time, sacrifice time with others at some points in my life. I haven't had to, fortuitously, haven't had to move back home or anything like that. Like, I've always been able to, you know, cover bills and do fine. So that hasn't really been a challenge there. But I would actually say that one of the biggest sacrifices I've made is, I don't know if I'd say I've sacrificed my mental health, but it's definitely been more of a challenge working for myself to kind of be steady than when working for somebody else. So, you know, it's very easy as someone who likes to work hard, likes to make a difference, is trying to make a difference, to kind of ignore ourselves and ignore our, what we need to do to take care of ourselves, whether that's exercise or, you know, eating right or eating or drinking less caffeine. I've definitely been through periods where I haven't been as healthy in that way.
Yeah. I'd agree with you. Self-care is very important. You know, it should come first, even before business needs.
Totally. And one thing that I just don't sacrifice, even though, you know, like I said, I stayed up midnight last night doing work, finishing up this audit for a client. Normally I wake up about 6 a.m. So I go to bed at, 10:30, 11 o'clock, sleep seven and a half hours, eight if I can, and then get up. I didn't make myself get up at 6 o'clock this morning. I slept till eight. I very much believe in getting enough sleep. I always have. And that's one thing I just do not sacrifice because I can't function if I don't have enough sleep.
Yes, I will second that. So John, what's your single best piece of advice to someone who's listening today and wants to land their first or maybe even a higher paying freelance client?
So and I don't want this answer to sound flippant, but my answer is ask for more. So if you're, and this is the person that wants to sign a higher paying client. So if you're talking to clients and, you know, they're, and you have a super high close rate, you know, you say you're telling them it's going to cost them $1,000 a month, or as an example, which is low, honestly. And they're signing, they're like, oh yeah, great. Sounds good. And they sign, you can probably stand to raise your rates a bit, right? So next time, quote them 2,000 and see what they say. Right. And if they say no, then you have some space to negotiate back. Maybe they end up signing for 1,500, in which case you've made 500 more. What I found is if it's the right client, they'll be like, okay, great. Sounds good. And then you're getting paid double for the same amount of work as you were charging, you know, $1,000 for before. So not being afraid to raise your rates right there. If you don't have any clients, let me first say that you have to have a skill to sell. So I'm not talking about the people that are like wanting to be a, you know, a Facebook ads consultant, but they've never run Facebook ads before, right? Like, I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to the true like Facebook ads experts. A, start writing about it. And you'll be amazed at the people, you know, that come to you. And then B, one of the best things you can do is basically case studies and give free advice. So in the past, at different places I've worked, I've seen people write blog posts like, if I did SEO for this company, this is what I would do. And then guess what? The next day the company contacted us and they turned into a client. So that can be a really, really good way to do it as well, right? If I did SEO for this kind, you know, for this specific brand, I would do Y. And if they're looking to hire, guess who they're going to?
That is an exact tactic to steal right there.
It's a good one. And I love reading stuff like that. Those case studies work so, so well. You know, and it even shows other clients, not just that one brand that you wrote about, right? But it shows other clients that, you know, kind of how you think and what your process is.
I love it. Well, John, this is going to be my last question for you. What's been the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing one of your businesses? So this could be in the form of time, money, tools, products, services, people, or otherwise.
Wow. Good question. I would say that the best investment I've ever made actually is into a business coach. So my business reached a point about a year and a half ago where I had grown it to a certain point and I was so tired, Ryan. I was working so hard and clients were churning or customers were churning. And now it's just like, this thing isn't working. And I don't know what to do. And I ended up connecting up with this guy that he actually lives up in Boulder, just fortuitously, saw some content he had out, signed up to his email list, responded to an email basically saying, why did you sign up? And we've worked together for about the last 18 months and he's been really good. It's really good having, and I pay him monthly. I pay him well. And it's been really good having someone, you know, that's a bit more experienced than me. He's actually younger than me, but he's more experienced in business than I am. Basically pointing out where I am, where my blind spots are and where I'm thinking about doing things that aren't going to get me to my ultimate goal of how I want to build a business. And just having someone like that, that I'm paying well, that keeps me accountable, has been the best investment that I've made in my business.
Wow, that's great advice. And that's a good point to leave this conversation. John, thanks for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening where they can go to learn more about you, Credo, and everything else you're up to?
Sure. So my website is johnfdoherty.com, D-O-H-D as in dog, D-O-H-E-R-T-Y. If you just search John Doherty, it comes up number one. And Twitter at DohertyJF is the best place to interact with me.
Awesome. All right. Well, John, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of The Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.